Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
The fact that the Attorney General, the top cop in our country, lied under oath to the American people is grounds for him to resign.
That's Nancy Pelosi from the dead. Amazing they keep voting her in. Who cares about Jeff Sessions? We're hearing that if you go see Logan, that there is the Deadpool 2 teaser that has been somewhat released. I like it, man. Deadpool is awesome. That's all I'm saying. Deadpool was awesome. If you've not seen Deadpool, see Deadpool. Don't see it with your kids, though. I had to call Jack's mom the other night and said, on Netflix, there is a movie that looks funny. It's a hot dog with a smile on his face and a bun. And he may go, I want to watch that, Daddy or Mommy. And you say, no, you're not watching Sausage Party. You're not watching it. That is bad adulting if you allow that to happen. Joining us now is the man, the myth, the legend, the guy who has accompanied us on many trials, travels, and travails throughout this great land, including to the Republican National Convention in the beautiful state of Ohio. Jim Kennedy joins us now for the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. Hello, Jim. How are you?
Good afternoon, Chad. Doing okay. Remember those great abode, that great abode you had back in Cleveland?
Yes.
That wonderful house?
That was awesome.
Yes.
Those of you who are new to the show, when we went out there, we Airbnb'd it, and because of that, we didn't know exactly where we were going. And the pictures look amazing at the place we were staying. Little did we know that we were staying in essentially Detroit.
I've seen nicer crack houses.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Jim, let's talk about first. Let's touch on it quickly. I don't want to delve too deep into it. The Sessions thing. I think he did right by recusing himself. There was some issues there. And I heard you talk earlier about the Antonin Scalia thing where in a time when the Cheney shooting that happened, that everybody wanted him to recuse himself because he was friends with him. He was there. It was, you know, their pals. And he said, if the media allows us to push that around every time that they don't like something or want something gone, that's not good. It's a little different here, though, because this was kind of an under oath thing, and it's semantics. Did he lie, or was it just a false statement, or did he forget something? What's your take from the very conservative side of things?
Well, I would say that basically Mr. Sessions has done the absolute most that he can do as far as set himself aside from this and basically take himself completely out of the process in case there's any, you know, there's going to be no question about this being an impartial investigation if there is one and if there are any things to be investigated. He's completely distanced himself from it. I think there's going to be no questions. It should quiet the Democrats if that's a possibility these days. And we should just hopefully move on with the process.
Yeah, there we go. I'm agreeing. I'm over talking about it. I think he did the right thing. I think he should probably done that anyways, and we wouldn't be in this situation. I don't think he did anything untoward. I don't think any of that stuff. But I think he did. He does have some issues. The misspeaking. He filled out a questionnaire when he put no on there as well about did you talk to anybody basically from Russia, and it's optics. Stay away from it. Let's talk about Tuesday night. Hell of a night.
It was great. I was actually quite surprised. I kind of go in there with a little bit of low expectations on Trump, but he had a grand slam, and also kudos to whoever wrote that speech. I believe it's a young kid in the White House that actually crafted that speech, and that speech was just absolutely top notch. That guy's got quite a future for speech writing. I mean, Trump did a great job delivering it. I mean, come on, if you can even convert Van Jones over to believing you're the president now, I mean, come on. I don't think it was a much higher hurdle than Van the Communist Jones. So come on.
No, and you know, that's something that was very real. If you can do that, and this is actually the clip the other night with Van Jones talking about essentially that speech, and you're absolutely right. If you can get him to at least say something like this as a Democrat, you got to be worried.
He became president of the United States in that moment, period. There are a lot of people who have a lot of reason to be frustrated with him, to be fearful of him, to be mad at him. But that was one of the most extraordinary moments you have ever seen in American politics, period. And he did something extraordinary. And for people who have been hoping that he would become unifying, hoping that he might find some way to become presidential, they should be happy with that moment. For people who have been hoping that maybe he would remain a divisive cartoon, which he often finds a way to do, they should begin to become a little bit worried tonight. Because that thing you just saw him do, if he finds a way to do that over and over again, he's going to be there for 8 years. Now, there is a lot that he said in that speech that was counterfactual, that was not right, that I oppose and will oppose. But he did something tonight that you cannot take away from him. He became president of the United States.
That's Van Jones, man. That is not a guy who is a best friend of this administration. That is not a guy that is the best friend of any Republican out there. And he hit it out. And I'll tell you what, I thought it was a great speech. And I thought the thing to me that stood out the most was lots of we's, not a lot of I's. Lots of I want to reach across the aisle. We all need to do this together. But it was the tone and the way that he talked that it wasn't antagonistic. It was almost like he surveyed the landscape of the country and realized that he's losing some of this base that wasn't on board the entire time, and they were starting to get worried, and I think that brought them back into the fold.
Tone and tenor was basically the key points of that speech, in addition to the content, but it was delivered perfectly. It was a very good speech, but he delivered it very well. He was, you know, you remember we had Ronald Reagan, who was the actor who many people say played the president as an actor, and Trump did the job of playing president, certainly on Tuesday night. He looked the part, and he gives people a lot of, I think, faith now in the ability that he is really going to be able to be a president. He's just not going to be this crazy guy who goes out and yells a lot and tells people to go beat other people up at rallies. So I think he took quite a step forward. And if you're on the other side, I think that's kind of riled them up. And I think that's kind of where we've gotten a lot of these quote unquote scandals later in the week, because the left has now just been riled up because they go, okay, well, he's not going to, like, you know, goof his way out of the White House now. So we're going to have to, you know, get all guns blazing if we're going to try to go after Trump now.
If you're a Democrat, as we talked to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, if you're a Democrat right now and you're surveilling everything, and you've got Tom Perez now, and you know, again, it's the same old same. You've got Ellison, you know, which is not the same old same, but it is the same old same, because it's just Bernie and Elizabeth Warren wrapped up in the Ellison package. If you're them and you're looking around and you're seeing the way that the tone and tenor was, and you're understanding now that this is what we have to go up against, you've got to have some worry, because you've lost a lot of these people, and it's going to be tough to get them back, especially if Trump does a quarter of what he says he's going to do, but shows an effort to try to do 100% of it.
Yeah, the Democrats are not in a good spot right now. Even with Perez coming in, you're basically looking at another Hillary lackey running the party. And with, like talking with Ellison, he's a younger, more militant version of Bernie, if that's a possible, you know, combination. And it's not just the White House and the House and the Senate. Their problem is they have lost close to 1,000 individual seats across the country in the 50 state legislatures.
Yeah.
And they only control, I think, 5 state legislatures with a governorship right now, in California, of course, unfortunately, where we are being one of them. But outside of that, it is the party is just devastated as far as local. And that's going to take a long time. And in those states where, you know, talking about if you're a Democrat, if you're in the Senate, remember, there are about 12 or 13 Democrats that are running for the Senate in states that either Trump won or came very close to winning. And look at Joe Manchin. He was standing up and applauding as a Democratic senator last night, who's running in 2018 in what's become a very red state. And he knows where his political future is. And if he doesn't at least look like he's trying to reach across the aisle, he does not have a political future in West Virginia. So there's a lot of those that are out there that are going to be in trouble. But the party in general has got to look at, you know, what are we going to do to draw back those disaffected workers, those Trump voters, those Reagan Democrats, if you want to call them that, who don't think the big government is the solution. They think the big government's failed them. But the Democrats' only answer is big government. Where do you go with that? And I don't really know. I think they've got a lot of things they got to look at their belly button and figure out.
You know, Joe Biden said something, and he said something when he said after the election, he says, you know, you look at this thing right here, this ad that Hillary played, and they played this ad that Hillary played, and he goes, you know what's missing? Me. Where's the middle-aged white guy voter who was the base of a lot of that Midwestern kind of Rust Belt feel you have left it out. You have turned everything into identity politics, and you've left out this identity, and you can't win that way. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. Jim Kennedy's here for the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. When we come back, we're going to talk about the media, Trump, how does he go about doing certain things. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
What I like about talk radio is the fact that you can, like, listen to, like, guys interact with each other and, like, hear their opinions. And I don't know whether it's, like, sports or something else. Like, it's dialogue going on, so.
Welcome to paradise.
Chad Benson.
It is Chad Benson Show. Joining me, Jim Kennedy, Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. So, Jim, the fight between the media, the craziness between Trump, some of it's him. I'm you know what, as much as I want him. He's going much better than most people think he's going to do. There is still some of this kind of like, ooh, what are you doing? And this is going to be a long 4 years with him in the media.
It is going to be an interesting 4 years. But the media, I've heard you talking about it. It's made me think about this. You know, the media's job is to basically protect the truth and make sure that the American public get the truth. Now, there's been a couple of comments. Mika Brzezinski did one about, no, our job is to tell you what to think, which clearly is not what the media's job is. But as I see the media, and I'm curious what you think is, do you think the media is being more adversarial with Trump? It's not so much that they're simply about producing facts, but they seem to have a blatant interest in taking Trump down. They do not like Donald Trump being president, regardless of whether he's telling the truth or not.
Well, here's the thing. If you're the media, right, and you may be some sort of you know, left-leaning activists in the media, and you, in some ways you want to take it down, but it's also a business. And let me tell you something, the numbers is up, and it's not because your writing is better. It's not because your reporting is amazing. It's who and what you're writing and reporting about that is giving you these kind of numbers. It is a business first anymore. And we all know that they're left-leaning in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of good reporters out there that don't let them get in their way. The problem is it only takes a few idiots to be as antagonistic as they have been in a lot of ways and come at him, and he's a guy that will challenge you right back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. A lot of the Republicans in the past say, oh, you know, well, they would apologize and try to put it past them. They'll go, no, like you said, they'll come back at you and say, no, I think, you know, you're the Clinton News Network. You're fake news. I'm not asking. I'm not calling on you anymore. Or I'm not going to let you into this press gag. Like, take a hike. It doesn't make him a dictator. It simply makes him a little bit different than everybody else. And it's really putting them, kind of on their back feet for a while. But they're going to, you know, I was always told, don't get into a fight with people who buy ink by the gallon.
Yeah. Well, and that's the truth. I mean, they can make your life. I mean, look across many different industries. I mean, you're a president, but guess what? A wrong tweet from a CEO and you're getting fired. If you're a baseball player and you're horrible to the media, you watch out when you go to get to the Hall of Fame because they remember these kind of things.
Or the CEO of Uber and you start yelling at one of your drivers and you get caught on videotape and look what happens to you.
I mean, it's crazy. So, as we talk to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, and we move forward here and we look at this coming year and what Trump has to do. He graded himself the other day as an A-plus for effort, and I don't think anybody can deny he's going out there doing all he possibly can. Gave himself, though, an honest C for messaging, and I think that is real because I think his message at times with the Kellyanne Conways and the Sean Spicers and the right hand doesn't seem to know what the left hand's doing and they're saying different things on the same time at the same day on different networks. We got to button that up.
And also that whole way the executive order on the immigration reform was rolled out, that was a disaster, and they were winding up stopping people that had legal entry with green cards back in and holding them off of flights and stuff, and that was very badly implemented. Not the policy, just the way it was implemented itself was bad and just seemed to be kind of the thing where, hey, it's 4:30 on a Saturday, let's go write up an executive order and see, you know, and go implement it, but not tell anybody how to do it. So those things need to be worked out. I mean, you know, these guys are not bureaucrats. They're not you know, Trump's used to running large organizations, but it's going to take him a while to basically figure out how you run a government. And remember, there's a lot of people that have not been put into place. There's like 5,000 positions that need to be confirmed. And I don't think they've got more than about 200 of those in place.
No.
Because of the holdup or whatever reasons on that. So it's going to take them some time to kind of get this thing spun up and kind of get the momentum going on that.
What's the biggest thing that he needs to do in the next month or two that he absolutely has to do, that the people are now saying, you know, because you're hearing now people in the Rust Belt are saying, where's our jobs? You're hearing people say, why isn't, where's Obamacare? And, you know, being at a town hall, you don't want to do that right now. What's the biggest singular thing that he has to do along with the Republicans to get people to go, okay, this is what we're seeing?
Well, we got to basically start looking at putting some sort of a formal plan out there and a timeline for building the wall, if that's still the path he's going to go down. Obamacare, repeal, replace. Every time you talk to Paul Ryan, all you get are hymns and hurt. You kind of get, you know, just, well, we're looking into it. We're figuring it out. It may not be right away. Same thing with Mitch McConnell. He's got to get the Republicans in Congress moving. They don't seem, you know, they want to move at congressional speed, and Trump moves at a lot faster speed than that. He wants to start getting that stuff going. He's going to have to start leaning on Ryan and McConnell to get some of the bills going. As far as jobs, I'm not sure, you know, government doesn't create jobs. Jobs are
created. They kill jobs. They don't create jobs.
Right. I mean, it's government regulations that prevent you from creating jobs. So the way you create jobs in government is you remove regulations that prevent people from creating jobs. And that's what he needs to do. I know he's pledged for every one regulation that comes in, two will go away. But they've got to be a little bit more of a process. And where exactly can you make your quick hits? What areas? EPA, no longer regulating ponds in people's backyards, for example.
Yeah.
So stuff like that. We also don't forget, it'll be an interesting case if it floats through, but Oregon is beginning to try the case on the cake bakers. They got fined $135,000 for not wanting to bake the gay cake. And that may be an issue that starts popping back up again.
Yeah.
So that's something as far as on the social media, or on the, not social media, but the social subject side. But Trump, number one, needs to work with Congress, Ryan McConnell, and get some bills introduced and get some legislation going to back up his campaign promises.
His name is Jim Kennedy. You can check him out at Righty Jim. Solid, as always, my friend, having you here on a Friday night to talk about the trials and travails of the Trump presidency as we are about 42, 43 days in. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson. You can always text us as well, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Promise you last hour we're going to do it. We're going to do it this hour. He's back in the news. I'm thinking he may be a horrible dad. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm going to go with probably. We'll talk about that straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
That's right. Hey, producer Phil, I'm starving, and our boss, old Rich McFadden out there, he just posted a picture of Sloppy Joe's. Said he went old school tonight. Man, I'm starving for Sloppy Joe. I love Sloppy Joe's.
I'm getting chicken wings after work.
You're going chicken wings, huh?
Yeah.
B-dubs?
Yeah, because I had a choice between that and a sandwich that I got last night, and I want to try this new sauce.
Oh, God. Man, I'm starving, but, man, I tell you what, I eat Sloppy Joe's, man. I love me some Joe's, baby. Baby, I love me some Joe's, baby. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show Twitter, ChadBenson. It's going to be a rally tomorrow in Mississippi. It's been organized by the Mississippi Alliance for Fairness at Nissan. It's probably a horrible Twitter name. Bernie Sanders, Danny Glover. Oh, Danny Glover. He's just horrible. You're awful. And NAACP President Cornell William Brooks. They're going to join a bunch of other politicians and activists in Canton, Mississippi. And the reason for that is simple. Apparently, it's a pattern of civil rights abuse by Nissan against its predominantly African-American workforce in Mississippi, according to the statement made by the March organizers. The company has committed rampant safety and health violations and denied its workers their basic right to vote for a union free from fear and intimidation. That's what Glover said in a statement. Nissan staunchly denies the activist claim, saying the United Auto Worker Unions is part of a campaign to pressure the company into recognizing a union even without employee support. So, the union saying, we've not taken a formal step. That's baloney. If you open up a auto manufacturing company anywhere in the United States, the union's going to be there the minute the door opens for the first day, trying to get themselves in there. And they've lost in several votes lately. And they're struggling, right? They're struggling. Big time. In a statement Friday, Sanders said that while Nissan workers are unionized in 42 of its 45 factories around the globe, the workers' plants in Mississippi and Tennessee are not. One person said, I am, for one, grateful for my job, but in the years since the factory opened, Nissan has driven down pay, eliminated benefits, and imposed punishing production schedules while skimping on basic health and safety equipment. But you can't do that. But I don't know. And what happens if you unionize, right? Have you thought about this? What happens if you go out there and you unionize today and everybody's excited and the union's like, we're in there and this is exciting. Then you show up on Monday and the doors are locked and they said, we've decided to close the plant. How do you feel? What's the union do for you then? Is my question I ask to you, the people of America. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N. I don't think he's going to be Father of the Year. I'm going to put it out there. And we joked about it earlier about him. We were talking this morning about this guy. And we didn't realize it was this guy we were talking about. We heard about somebody who wanted to change his name to a particular name. And we were saying, do you remember that guy? And we all started laughing. Well, guess what? That guy and this guy are the same guy. Yeah, he's at it again. The worst father ever? I'm thinking, yeah.
You might know him from his beloved swastika tattoos.
Let's see, India had that. China had it. I like art.
You might remember him from his 2008 incident of asking a local supermarket to make a birthday cake for his son with Happy Birthday Adolf Hitler on it.
I actually wrote the book Mein Kampf 3 and 4.
Isidore Heath Campbell, also known as Nazi Dad, has filed papers to legally change his last name to Hitler in New Jersey. Campbell gained notoriety in 2008 after a local supermarket refused to put Happy Birthday Adolf Hitler on a cake, and after an investigation, he lost parental rights of his 9 children. Campbell can legally change his name, but first, he has to post a legal notice in the local newspaper prior to having a proper court hearing. Michael Bauer, NBC News Radio, New York.
There's so many things in that story that stuck out. First and foremost, is his name Isidore? Okay, whatever. It's good. Secondly, he's got 9 kids. 9 kids. Why does stupid breed? Why does it breed? What is the need to breed, stupid? What is it? What is the need to breed? Look, I was, when he went to have the cake made, I started laughing. Because I'm like, if you went to a place like Walmart and had a cake, try to have a cake made, and they're like, you know, it's for my husband, Barry, and your name's Lance, and they say no, people would have lost their mind. This guy wanted, he named his kid Adolf Hitler. This kid, by the way, has no chance. Thank God he's no longer with him. But, and I call him a horrible dad. Because there's 9 of them, and I doubt he probably pays for all 9. And secondly, because you named your kid Adolf Hitler. You named your kid Adolf Hitler. What did you think about? You may be a white supremacist. You may be a believer in all of the things that the Nazis stood for. But, I mean, don't we think that maybe your kid may have a tougher time in life naming him Adolf Hitler? Don't you think? I watched a documentary on HBO the other night called The Last of the Hitlers. And these are people, Some of them are related, like great nephews. I think there's three great nephews or actual nephews that are in the eastern part of the country, all of which would not come on the documentary and talk about their family lineage. Some other people who had the last name Hitler. That's their last name. And one guy whose dad, he was from like Venezuela or Bolivia, thought the name Hitler was cool, named his first name Hitler. But like showed this teenage girl, she's like in Iowa or somewhere, and her family's name is Hitler. And they didn't change it. But what is this idiot thinking? Why is it, what's the need for the stupid to the stupid is strong. But why is the need to reproduce at such high rates? That I don't know. And the other thing that stood out is he wrote Mein Kampf 3 and 4. That means somebody else wrote Mein Kampf 2. Or maybe this is the stupid, right? Maybe this is part of the stupid. I don't know. It's amazing. I'm shocked, but I'm not shocked anymore. I'm not. It's just the stupid is strong in America. He's going to change his name to Hitler. And you wonder why you don't have your kids. You wonder why. And if I've seen some stuff about this guy, it wasn't just that he named his kids Hitler is why he lost his kids. There were some other issues within this this person's life. Some other issues. It's insane. People tweeting me about Sessions. I don't want to talk about Sessions anymore. He's boring. I've lost my way with him. It's happened. It's over. It's done. This is more entertaining. Right? Like, this is more entertaining. Talking about Elton John and the fact that nobody will play his music is more entertaining. We were talking about Rod Stewart earlier, right? Because, like, he's transformed himself into a, you know, this does all these ballads and stuff. He's like the older version of Michael Bublé. That's what he's become. And apparently he is getting some flack for reenacting an ISIS beheading. Like, what video are you, fly me to the moon? What video are you doing that you're reenacting a ISIS, says he was trying to do a Beatles thing? Well, at what point do you go, I got a great idea. This is going to be awesome. This is it. The Chad Benson Show Facebook, at Chad Benson Show is your, at Chad Benson Show is your Twitter, CHADBENSON. We got great phone calls coming up, and this guy is a millennial. He is running for office, and they absolutely obliterate him with this amazing commercial. And you got to be careful out there in this day and age. The Chad Benson Show.
You're listening to The Chad Benson Show.
Ah, beautiful night on the scores. It's Friday night. This is The Chad Benson Show. Got calls of the week rolling in here in a little bit. This guy is a kid. Was he 30 years old? I say kid, but I mean, he feels like a kid to me. He's running to take over Tom Price's congressional district as he now moves on to Health and Human Services. So, Democrat John Ossoff is his name, and he's a millennial. He's a youngster, right? He's a youngster. And we're now getting to the point where the youngsters are thinking about politics, and now we have to deal with what were they like in college. They're the Instagram kids. They're the Facebook kids. They're the Twitter kids. They were the MySpace kids. There's stuff out there now. And this is one of the first ones I could think of where they're running an ad against him. And I want you guys to listen to this because I think it's mild, right? I think it's mild, except for one thing. When you see the commercial, it's a little bit different. But just listen to him as they talk about him in this. John Ossoff, or whatever his name is. I probably said it wrong, but he's 30, so who cares?
John Ossoff really wants you to think he's ready to be in Congress. There's just one problem. Ossoff wasn't exactly fighting against terrorism. He was fighting against restrictions on cake parties. You see, Ossoff was just a college kid, doing things like dressing up with his drinking buddies and pretending to be Han Solo.
I'm Han Solo, captain of the Millennium Falcon. She's the baby ran four kegs by Dobbs in her 3 parsecs.
John Ossoff, not honest, not serious, not ready. Sorry, Johnny, but the truth strikes back.
I don't know if he's ready or not, but I will say this. The thing that I looked at when I watched it is he is so young. Like, those were just a couple years ago. This is where we are now. We're coming to this place now where the generation that grew up with computers and the internet and only knows those things are going to be out there front and center in the political world, right? I mean, we look at somebody like Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio in their early 40s, and we're like, those guys are young for politics, but they're in state and now even in congressional races and Senate races, we're going to start seeing some young 30-year-olds that are out there, and they're going to be the first ones who grew up in the sexting area. Who grew up in a way that we have, you think to yourself, wow, this is it, right? Like, this is the first time we're going to start seeing the generation that is computer-based, internet-based, and that's all they've ever known. And he looks like he's, right, Producer Phil? That's the thing. The thing that struck me most is he didn't do anything crazy that anybody else didn't do. But he just looks so young.
Yeah, he looks like he just graduated college.
Experience. Yeah, he looks like he's an hour out of college. He looks like he's like an hour out of college. That's the thing. Man. How many naked pictures of politicians are we going to see in the next 20 years because they grew up in the sexting time. They grew up in the time when you do stupid things and you put it out there and they're going, you're trying to scrub it all you want, but once it's out there, it's out there.
Yeah, but right? By that point, everyone's going to be like,
that ex-girlfriend of yours. Eh. Yeah, but that ex-girlfriend of yours, right? She still got that picture. She still got that picture. Just remember that. Hey, we get a lot of calls during the week and sometimes we can't get to them all. And what they end up doing is, well, quite frankly, they leave messages. They do. They go out there and they leave messages to the Chad Benson Show. And you're always willing to do that 24-7 at 844-344-2423. Whether you like me or hate me, you can leave a message. And there's a good chance it's going to get on. Here is your calls of the week.
Hey, if I want to hear fake news, I tune into the Chad Benson Show. It's fake news on speed.
Hey, Chad. I completely agree with what you're saying tonight. I think that instead of banning news organizations from the White House press briefings, we should just call them out and fake news if it's fake news.
What's wrong with society? I guess that's the best I can say. That's our president. We're not going to impeach him, so you just need to deal with it.
Last night, his speech was very impressive, even though it was the same, but it's just the way he said it, the way he presented it, and the way he looked. It looked like he meant really more business than anger. He was really calm. I really enjoyed it.
Hysterical that we would compare the movies to what's going on and who's leading our country. And maybe it's the only time that we will get an honest opinion.
Yeah, man, if my boss came to me, asked me to see my phone, no. I'm sorry, but cell phones, I look at those as, you know, a private thing. You know, no, you can't see it. It's like, you know, them trying to say, you know, let me see what you keep in your closet. You know, what's in my closet is my friggin' business.
I've been an American my whole life. My father served in the service in World War II, and I served my time. But the one thing that really bothers me about America is we're such hypocrites. Popular vote should win. There should be no electoral college.
Yeah, the thing that worries me is, you know, nobody's talking about the
the debt that we have. I mean, over $20 trillion. Trump wants to spend money, you know, keep Obamacare, build this wall, everything. That sounds good, but who's going to pay for it?
Yeah, them Russians at it again, man. They went and hacked the Oscars.
Hey, man, Chad, I'm with you, man. I'd have to see this thing work, you know, at least, you know, 3, 4, 5 times before I'd even jump on that little spaceship. And, man, I don't know about you, but I'd need some freaking Xanax or something, you know, on the little liftoff, because, man, that is crazy.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The Chad Benson Show.
Oh, man, that is good. Some of those people, I think, had a few pops.
I tell you what's going to go on, Chad. Chad, I got to tell you something, Chad. Chad. Gonna tell you something, Chad. Tell you something.
You can always call us 844-DIG-CHAD, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We keep them. Tell me how you feel. Go ahead. Knock it out. You can leave a message. Say what you want to say. Even if there's some foul language, we will chop it out. That's how dangerous we are when it comes to foul language. We do not play games, kids. We do not play games. I learned a lot of stuff this week. I want to let you guys know that. I learned our president is still the president, no matter how hard the Democrats tried. And they tried very hard. Still trying very hard. I learned that Jeff Sessions didn't tell a lie, but didn't tell the truth. And somewhere in the middle lies whatever you want it to be, depending on the side of the aisle that you're sitting on. And I learned that there's a crazy guy out there who thought the best way to get his girlfriend back was to threaten Jewish community centers. Because that just seems to be something that every woman is craving in a relationship with a man. Solid fun show this week. As always, you guys have a safe and fun, sane weekend. The Chad Benson Show. Facebook at Chad Benson Show. Twitter, ChadBenson. For Anthony, for Scotty, for Phil, my name is Chad Benson. I bid you all adieu. Night-night, Jack.
The Chad Benson Show.